Hey everybody. Welcome back. We got Try is like he's facing the audience head on this time.
Yeah, I mean,
From
I don't know if it's necessarily that weird, but it's an experiment.
Yeah. So that's your new chair.
Say what?
That's your new chair.
It is. I mean, you can't get really the full view of it from here, but I got my keyboard on my lap and my trackball on the chair arm, and it's actually really comfortable because like the arms of the chair are really low and pretty flat, so I can just like lay the trackball on the arm of the chair, and it like my arm is flat on the arm, and it's pretty comfy. It's pretty comfy for editing. I've edited the whole Perfect Dark Zero episode thus far
Yeah.
entirely in this setup, and it's been a good editing setup. I mean, that was something I was kind of looking to achieve was have this sort of more dedicated editing setup instead of like kind of overlapping my play setup and editing setup. Of course, the PVMs are here with, so it's kind of overlapping a bit of a play setup. But for the most part, this is going to be like my editing chair, and it's also, I think, going to be a place I'm going to want to be for streams sometimes and such. But yeah, I mean, I think it is putting me in like a good mindset of like, okay, sitting down here, it's like time to edit.
Yep.
And eventually I'm going to get out of this chair and it'll be time not to
Yeah, then
edit.
that's pretty good way to separate it. Like I spend a lot of time, like in this chair over here and I play a lot of games like over here. But I've been playing more games here. Just because that's just the way it's worked out. But it is
Yeah,
what it
well, I
is.
mean, this is going to make the PVMs more usable for me, just like I used it last week for the Time Splitters 2 stream. But yeah, so for the people who maybe weren't here last week, I was trying to finish the very long delayed Perfect Dark Zero episode, which, because I have to do an episode on all of the rare after Nintendo games, right? And I was on a freelance project that was traveling starting Tuesday. So basically I wasn't able to work on it all week. But I'm going to kind of, that freelance project was like kind of always on the horizon. And starting with October 1st, which was when we were going MLEAG full time. And so I wasn't able to like really schedule my week leading up to that the way I wanted to. So I'm going to kind of treat this like the first like true work week, and the Perfect Dark Zero episode's like half-ish done. So I'm like, I'm not going to kill myself to get it done. I'm just going to work on it during normal working hours, finish it, and we'll release it on Saturday at 11 a.m., which is going to be not necessarily 100% of the time, but going forward, we're going to make that kind of our targeted time for releasing our videos, make it a bit of an event, I guess. But for certain things that maybe we won't be like really timely on, maybe we won't be able to make that. But I think for the most part, you can look for us to do that. And sort of the idea behind this is in part so that we're just going to be working through the week as you normally would a normal job, so that we're not like feeling like, oh my gosh, I need a break for like 2 weeks after finishing this video, because we want to be able to have the energy to pick up again, the next week. And I already know what I'm going to be working on the 2 weeks following that, so I'm getting excited about those projects too. So it's going to be fun. But anyway, so I mean, Perfect Dark Zero, look for it Saturday. I'm confident
That
it
is
will be
that
releasing
yeah.
Saturday.
And yeah, I mean, I think that that's the goal. Except for things that are like certainly like time sensitive, like if we have a chance to look at something, before like a release date, and it's like we'll put it up like the exact moment that we can. Like if it's like if we're doing like something like we did with like Mega Man, the Mega Man X collection, if we if it's something we want to aim for a release date, then we'll go for that, like as like a goal, you know. But for the most part, I think it's going to be Saturdays at 11 a.m. is going to be our time that we're going to go for. Hopefully it's a good time. I mean, the things that we've released, I think the first thing we released at that time was like the Retro Tank, I think. Was it? I'm pretty sure it was. And then, I mean, it did all right. It did pretty good.
Yeah.
And that was kind of like the test, like, oh, let's see how this does it this time. And, you know, the idea is that we have an episode, you know, every 2 weeks on Saturday, and they will be like significant episodes. And I think there might be times where we might have like something a little quicker that we want to do that might come out like during the week if that's the way it worked out. You know, it's just like something we're like, it's in addition to like our every 2 weeks. Like if we have something else, like, you know, that we already have like an episode coming out on like scheduled for like a certain day, and then we put together something like smaller, we'll just go ahead and do that. Like probably not on Saturday.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the goal. That's the goal. And, I think we're going to be able to do it. We've really been talking about this for 5 years.
We really have, but I mean, it feels like, I mean, we kind of, you know, had like that weekly, bi-weekly thing going for a time and just fell away from it. So it's really kind of reclaiming what we were doing earlier on, but I guess maybe with the standards we have now, I don't know. It's tough.
But I think we're going to be able to do it.
Yes.
I think we're going to be able to. And I think you can expect more episodes. Maybe not this one, not the Perfect Dark Zero, but you're going to get a lot more episodes with both of us in it, I think. And outside of that, you know, like my kind of goal also is to provide like some more frequent additional content for our patrons. I've kind of written it down as in like on the off weeks on Wednesdays, I'm going to try to like release like a small little thing for Patreon at like every other Wednesday at like 1 o'clock. And the idea behind that is like, it can be like kind of anything. It might be like a video. It might be something else. It might be like a blog post. I guess I was kind of inspired because I saw that, that Norm Gaming Historian is doing this thing. He calls it like the weekly Wednesday, where he like kind of just like has a thing that kind of gives an update every Wednesday of like what he's been working on and what's coming. And I think that would be fun to do something very similar to that, but also, you know, like a video, just kind of like, hey, you know, like I finished The Messenger today. Like, how about just like a shortish video of just me talking about like what my thoughts on it. I mean, it doesn't have to be anything like crazy or anything like that. But the idea is, you know, with going to work at 9 o'clock in the morning, like I can have it like the idea of what I'm going to do for that, shoot it and edit it and have it out by 1 o'clock for patrons.
Yeah. Well, and starting tonight, my goal moving forward is to kind of operate how I used to and more or less drifted away from, which is, you know, go to bed at midnight or start to go to bed at midnight and set my alarm for basically 8 o'clock, I guess. And, you know, like you, be working by 9.
Yeah.
We got a $5 donation from Austin, the RPG nut. Hey, Imlik, how's the team doing? Quick question. Will you guys be doing game nights with patrons or anything like that? Love the RGB masterclass.
I think that's something we could definitely
do. Yeah, I mean, we don't play like a lot of online multiplayer type stuff, but I mean, something like that could be a good outlet for it for sure. I mean, you know, I mean, certainly stuff like Mario Kart or Splatoon or Smash Brothers, you know, could be an option for me. You know, I tend to stay in the Nintendo realm of multiplayer stuff these days, but you know, who knows? That could be incentive to dip your toe into something else. It's not a bad idea.
In the interest of time, so I'm going to be playing Quake 2 on the Xbox 360 tonight. This is something that I didn't really know existed until recently. I just kind of had it like a desire to play Quake 2. So I asked our friend John Linneman, said, you know, what's the most recent version to play Quake 2 on consoles? And he said, you know, there was a version of Quake 2 that is really, really nice that came with certain versions of Quake 4 on the Xbox 360. So it's on a bonus disc. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like it's a very early game for the system. I don't know the exact release date, and the case is over there. But this is the game. It runs at 1080p 60, which was like kind of a something that didn't really happen early on in the 360.
Yeah, I mean, would anyone have even had a setup to use it at that time? I mean, could was the 360 even capable of outputting 1080p at that time?
I don't know.
Because like it didn't have HDMI. I mean, I know you can do 1080p over component, but
I'm going to play on easy because it's been a long time since I played Quake 2. And I just,
I'm not sure if the early systems were set up to do that or not.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like it, from what I've tried of this, it like runs incredible. And you know, it's been a long time since I played this. The last time I probably played it was at a friend's house using two Voodoo 2s and SLI.
Wow, I didn't actually know that you could do SLI way back then.
Oh yeah, I mean the Voodoo 2s were like the first ones to kind of do it, I think.
Oh okay, I'm not much of a PC gaming buff. For some reason, I thought that was relatively a more recent thing, but I guess not.
I'm gonna go ahead and skip the story bit.
So when
I don't know what the release date was for this. I don't know exactly when it came out, but it was fairly early.
Right, but what's the release date for the original version of Quake 2?
I want to say like 97 probably. 96 or 97 probably.
97. There says Nintendo 64, 1999. That's not Quake 64, is it?
Maybe. There's a lot of people who might think it's like blasphemous to be even like playing this with a controller. You know, this is like very, it's very much a mouse and keyboard game. But I feel like it plays pretty good with this. I mean, certainly not better.
I am always down for finagling a way to play a mouse and keyboard game with a controller. Wait a second, turn around and look at it. Well, I mean, you're probably passive, but there was a these boxes almost look like they've got like a
Zelda,
like a Hylian emblem on them. Yeah.
So run is on the left trigger, and shoot is on the right. And you know you can jump. But I'm not usually used to having like a run button anymore in first-person shooters. I mean, I guess you do it when you click in the stick in a lot of games now.
Okay, so people are saying Quake 2 came out on the N64 in 1999. So I guess that is a different game from Quake 1 on the N64.
There's also a PS1 version of Quake 2. I guess it's fairly impressive. I have it, but I haven't like really played it.
People are in the chat are saying it supports has mouse support.
Well, this does?
No, Quake 2 on PlayStation.
Oh.
Is there like an official PlayStation mouse?
There is. Actually, if you what I was thinking about playing actually tonight before I decided on this was Clock Tower on the PlayStation.
Oh yeah.
I was thinking about playing it because Nitro Rad just did a video on it today. I was gonna see if he wanted to like be on the stream, but I was like was like not enough time. But you know, that game supports the PlayStation mouse.
Do you have a PlayStation mouse?
No, but I kind of want one, though, now.
I actually just finished Clock Tower 3 on Monday, which was an interesting game. It's got a lot of very good ideas, and I feel like it doesn't quite live up to those ideas. It doesn't really achieve what it sets out to do with them necessarily. But overall, I kind of liked it, despite it, you know, not it clearly being very flawed. But it was perfectly playable, and it had a lot of interesting things about it. I kind of want to chat to John about some of the cutscene technology in it, because it did things that I feel like are kind of weird to see, especially for the time. Like, there was like some deformation mesh thing going on with like beds and pillows and stuff and cutscenes. It's like, it looks very much, it doesn't necessarily look that good, but it's interesting how it looks. And I feel like it's definitely not like what you would expect to see on PS2. But it was overall an interesting game, though. It definitely was interesting.
Well, I was, like, after watching that video on the first, well, the second Clock Tower, technically, but in the U.S., the first Clock Tower, made me a lot more interested in playing it. Have you played the PlayStation 1 version?
No, I mean, I've played very little Quake in my day.
No, I'm talking about Clock Tower.
Oh, no, because that's Clock Tower 2, I guess.
Right.
I have not played that. I've played the Super Famicom. It's pretty interesting too. Someone in the chat says the voice chat audio is glitching out occasionally tonight.
Yeah, your voice is definitely like, it skips every once in a while, like just like there's like kind of like an audio hitch in it, like every once in a while. Is it like that with mine as well?
I mean, it's probably just me then.
I've noticed that, like, since we started.
Network. I'm doing some renders for my freelance project. Because I just kind of have to process them into a format they can use more easily. Hopefully that's not, I mean, that could potentially be putting a strain on, I guess, but not the network. Famna also asked, why is the capture at 30 FPS? I thought Quake 2 360 was 60.
Oh, is it? It's not running it? 60? It should be. It's definitely running at 60 on here. Huh.
It could be an OBS issue.
Hang on. Let me see if I can fix it here. Let's see if that fixes it.
Did you restart?
There we go.
What was wrong?
It just might have been something that was...
Oh, it didn't like lock on to the specs or something?
For some reason. It should be better now. Your audio seems like it's a little bit better now, too.
Wow, it's probably just coincidence.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but the soundtrack in this game is by Trent Reznor of Nine Inch Nails.
I'm
pretty sure that's this one. It was definitely an id game.
Looks like he did Quake 1, but not 2.
Oh, really? Okay, he didn't. Oh, well.
Huh.
this thing to come down.
I guess we're kind of becoming my life in FPS.
Oh, I guess. Is that...
The last couple weeks.
Did someone say that? Or did they just...
No, I just kind of thought of it. And, you know, and then this weekend we're going to be releasing a video about...
Oh, yeah.
FPS.
Yep, I didn't even think about that.
I think people will have fun with the video even if you hate or don't care about Perfect Dark Zero, because it's very much like kind of a look at GoldenEye's legacy more so than Perfect Dark Zero itself. I mean, of all the games, I spend by far the most time on Perfect Dark Zero, but on the whole, it's only about half the video.
Yeah.
So have you beaten this game before in some form?
I may have come close. I don't know if I've completely finished it though. Where am I going here? But it's been, like I said, it's been a long time. I mean, this is one of the games that kind of got me into PC gaming at the time. Because, you know, I had that friend who had the SLI setup and, you know, just would not stop talking about how good this stuff looks.
People are talking about ports of Jedi Outcast. I kind of forgot about that game. That's like a
console? I mean, I have Jedi Outcast 2 on the Xbox, but is there versions for? How do I get this to come down? There's no console versions of, like. Well, Jedi Outcast. I have the Xbox version of. Do I gotta jump across that, or is there like another? Am I missing a switch here?
Jedi Outcast is on. It's also on GameCube and Xbox.
Yeah, I have the Xbox version.
PS2. That's interesting. And I feel like I played one of those once, a little bit. Do we have favorite FPS games? I mean, I feel like the upcoming video is going to kind of profess my love of kind of the GoldenEye branch of first-person shooting. Although I very much kind of acknowledge that it's, you know, it's a thing of the past that isn't really made anymore. My favorite FPS. I've always had a soft spot or I wouldn't say always necessarily, but. For a long time, I've had a soft spot for the, you know, the most of the Wolfenstein games. I really like Half-Life 2 a lot. Like, I feel like just the way the story is presented in that game, and just like the sheer variety and gameplay that it has over the course of its run, like, it just kind of never gets old and boring. Like, it's just always doing something new and interesting, like with every scenario. I don't know, it's Half-Life 2 could be my favorite. You know, I'm definitely not like a hardcore FPS player by any stretch.
Yeah, same here. I mean, Halo is definitely my favorite. It's hard for me to decide which
one. I'm looking forward to finally playing those sometime.
I'm not sure if I could pick which one is my favorite out of all of them. I think I played the first one the most.
Subsonic Sparkle says, my favorite FPS is 60, personally.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, it's true, though. Like, back when this was out, you know, they were called FPS, but it was, like, not for a first-person shooter. It was FPS for, like, as, you know, frames per second. Like, that's what it was referred to.
I don't I don't know. That might be people just like coming up with like, oh, it means this, but you know, it could also mean this.
No, I'm like, it was definitely a thing. Like the, I keep on wanting to hit that to like reload, but no, like FPS like didn't stand for first person shooter until like a little bit later. In terms of like in relation to these kind of games. Mm-hmm. I mean, this was called an FPS, but in terms of that, like, it did not mean first-person shooter.
I don't know. You might be remembering things kind of funny. That sounds...
Well, I remember it being a very big deal in the IRC chat room that I was in.
Well, I feel like the people in the IRC chat room may have been confused.
I don't know. If you think that, like...
But that confusion could lead to, you know... true terminology, at least true in the sense that it was used in that way, but it may have not been quite proper.
I don't know. You're calling out the people who wrote for Game Fan magazine by saying they are confused because they were the ones that made the big deal about it.
Yes, Effie, Sandy is back. I don't want to disturb her right now though, because she looks like she's having a good time with it. Someone points out No One Lives Forever is an awesome FPS. That's a game I've wanted to play.
There's a PS2
long
version.
Time.
Like a, I don't think it's like a. I think it's an original game for PS2. It's not like.
Port? I don't know. I feel like I heard pretty good things about it. I feel like more recently I've heard some, you know, kind of like, man, that was a really good game that no one really talks about. There were two of them, right?
Yeah.
I've always kind of like wondered if they're like kind of GoldenEye-ish, but I really don't know.
I don't know. I've honestly never played them. But I'm familiar.
Have you ever played through Half-Life 2?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Several times.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I really like it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of amazing. Like, at the time, I kind of compared it to Resident Evil 2, or, excuse me, Resident Evil 4, because, like, in the sense that, like, I feel like Resident Evil 4 is just, like, so perfectly paced. Like, you know, the next scene is always, like, something interesting, you know? And I feel like Half-Life 2 is very much the same way, where it's just like constantly interesting.
For the most part, I mean, I think I would agree with you, except for what just happened there? Except for the part when you like have to like move, like get through the desert, like move the things you can step on.
Do what?
When those things come out of the sand, I can't remember what they're called, and you can't touch the sand, and you have to like move the planks.
The pounder. Am I thinking of Half-Life 2 or something else? Like the things that have like the pounder things that like.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's
indicate something. Is that I don't remember that part too well, but
I did everything.
But, you know, like, you know, having, like, a zombie section or a zombie expansion is, like, such a cliche thing now. But the fact that, you know, relatively early in Half-Life 2, you've got this whole, like, you know, shotgun and zombie section was, like, a really novel idea at the time. Like, I was like, wow, this game, like, has so much variety and stuff.
Oh, how do I use my thing? How do I use my, I'm gonna die.
What do you gotta use?
I don't know, I gotta use my environmental suit. Have I used it?
That's like pretty impressive particle effects that were at the side of the screen when you were dying.
gonna throw that grenade. I survived though somehow. Does it have an option to save? Oh yeah, I can save. Cool. So you can do like a quick save and everything.
Oh, cool. That's actually one cool thing about the PS3 version of the Orange Box. That you know, obviously that version launched in kind of a bad state, and then it was heavily patched. I actually played through it after playing the PC version. Mm-hmm. I thought it was fine. You know, I was patched, of course, though. But one nice thing about it that I'm pretty sure you can't do with the 360 version of the Orange Box is if you hold the start button for just like a second or two, it does a quick save, and there's no like easy quick save option on the 360. I think. That's kind of a nice way to do it. Like, I can't, you know, I would not consider myself like a FPS connoisseur, but I feel like that would be, that feels like a good way to do it for a console version of a shooter, to do a quick save by holding start. And I can't really think of another game where I've seen like that function, at least not presented in the same way.
Yeah, well, I mean that was the PS3's hard drive, right? That would have been the reason they could do it, is because of the hard drive.
Oh yeah, maybe I didn't think of that. Try Corey ever use an XPC4 converter in your setup? No, I'm drawing a blank on what exactly.
It's like a Micomsoft thing.
I know it's a Micomsoft, but I'm drawing a blank on what the intended function is.
I don't really know what the term Quake really means in relation to, like, the story of this game. They just choose it because it sounded cool.
Probably. I assume so. It would be interesting to see you guys play the GoldenEye mod Goldfinger on the N64 VN EverDrive. I am not aware of that. Is it,
I mean, I can try that, yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Is it like a total conversion of GoldenEye to, like, tell the story of Goldfinger? Because that would be pretty freaking awesome. That would be super awesome. Like, I definitely had fantasies back in the day of, like, Rare eventually making, you know, before Perfect Dark was announced, of course, like, maybe Rare could eventually make, like,
every single Bond movie.
Every single Bond movie into a game, you know? I mean, I was realistic. I was like, well, maybe like each one isn't as long as GoldenEye, and they do like five in a game or something.
Right.
You know, I had ideas, you know? I had my pitches ready for Rare. although, I guess there was like, I mean, I never played it, but I think it's called 007 Legends, where it has like bits of.
Oh, look at that. I got an achievement for zero gamer score. The zero gamer score. So there's achievements in there, but they just can't give you anything for them, I guess.
Really? So achievements didn't add up to gamer score early on?
No, they did. They did, but this is probably like they had a very strict thing where you couldn't have more than 1,000 in a package. Like even expansions like weren't like added to like achievements for like a long time.
Was 007 Legends a Call of Duty clone? I couldn't remember if it was first person or what. I actually kind of like the GoldenEye remake, just because I think it's like...
Do you have the PS3 version of that?
No, I don't. I kind of want to get it.
I have like it.
Yeah, I want to get that. I have the Wii version.
If you want to show that version, I can get some footage of it for you.
I mean, it's not really necessary, because I like really only need one clip, and I've already got a clip of the Wii version in there.
Got it.
But yeah, I mean, I kind of liked it. I mean, it was really hard to like dial in the pointer controls. Like at first, like, cause I was determined to play that on, the difficulty level. That's like, it's like the highest difficulty level. Plus there's no auto health recovery. So it's like, you know, to be like the original GoldenEye, which I generally am not a fan of auto health recovery. I accept it as a reality of modern games, you know. It works in stuff like Uncharted, I guess.
In the chat, there's somebody talking about the Quake name. Can you like scroll up a little bit? It was like just went off screen. I wanted to see. It's like something about it being the name of like John Carmack's D&D character or something like that. I'm just curious what the story is behind it.
This old console said they chose Quake because it's very 90s.
Well, that's pretty true. But I always loved how the shotgun looks in this. I got such a cool looking shotgun. Makes me think of Aliens. Like it just looks like a weapon that would have been in those, like a James Cameron movie.
Quake was a D&D character from Carmack's world. Apparently, Quake was supposed to be an RPG.
Well, it's good to see that they like really stuck to their vision.
But yeah, I liked the GoldenEye remake just because it's like it's cool to see like the story like completely reinvented as a Daniel Craig thing. Like, and I also feel like the scenes they chose to reimagine were inspired more from the game than the movie, because like certain things in the movie like were kind of just so brief and in passing, but they were made into a bigger deal in the game. And I feel like those scenes that were a bigger deal, like for example the archives, like in the movie that's like so short, but in the game it's like this whole scene, so they made the archive scene like much more of a thing in the reimagining of the game. It was an interesting idea for sure. That doesn't necessarily feel like GoldenEye, but it was an it's a cool thing. I kind of like it. Someone asked what's my verdict on the Brawler 64. I've messed around in Mario 64 a bit with it. The most I did was play a few hours of Bomberman Hero, which I'd like to start to maybe finish that on our lunch break stream idea.
Yes, which I think is going to start happening this week. I mean, I just wiped out two games off my now playing list today, so like I want to keep it going with finally finishing up Dick Tracy this week.
Yeah. I need to play some Barman here because I was really enjoying it, and I'm probably like half-ish way through, maybe not quite halfway, but close to it, I think. But I was really, you know, I wanted to play something that I was not already familiar with. You know, I want, because I felt like I would, that's a fairer way to judge it. Like, you know, not entirely basing it on my preconceptions of how a game should control with a real N64 controller. And I was really enjoying it. I mean, which is a hard thing for me to say as a person who really likes the N64 controller. But that said, you know, I haven't you know, done any super rigorous or scientific testing with like the analog stick range or anything like that. Of course, they supposedly fixed it extensively from the initial revisions.
And the good thing is, you know, once we're going to be in a place where we're, like, we can finally get to do all the episodes that we've been wanting to do for a long time.
Yeah, I mean,
makes sense. There'll be a more consistent release schedule.
Yeah, I mean, basically, and
we'd love to get like ahead of schedule, really.
Yes,
we're so envious. Joe from GameSack, like, he has these episodes done like month, like he's like working on stuff for like late in November right now. I'm so envious of that.
Like, he just has like an incredible work ethic, basically.
Well, I mean, that's the work ethic that we should strive to have.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's amazing to me how he does it, though. I've long been in awe of it.
Speaking of GameSack, they did a very like an excellent. I mean, I don't know how big of a fan you are. I mean, I suspect that you're not like that big of a fan. They did
of what?
Of Star Trek.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not. I mean. Not that I have anything against Star Trek, I just have never really taken the time to really invest in it.
Mm-hmm.
The most Star Trek I saw was in passing. They were playing the series about Picard getting taken by the Borg. I've never seen any of the Star Trek movies. I'd like to.
Oh, you never seen any of the movies?
No, I mean, it just feels like a very daunting thing to get into. I mean, there's just so much content.
There really is. And this is coming from somebody who just basically has just like seen all the movies and like assorted episodes of the show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it's pretty easy to follow. Like, I know I have all the context that I need.
Do you feel like just watching the movies would be enjoyable?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was... I mean, besides the original series, I mean, that's what I grew up just like watching the movies. I mean, like one of the earliest movies I remember seeing is Star Trek IV. I remember that specifically because I don't know where I'm supposed to go right now. I feel like I need to get in there somehow, but I don't know how. But I remember being very sick when that came out, and I like was so sick I like went and like, oh, whatever I just did, I did it. I like had to like I was like sleeping on the bench in the lobby because I like didn't feel good.
You what?
I didn't feel good. I was like sleeping like I went and slept on a bench in the lobby, so I like missed Mike most of the movie.
Oh.
But I mean, I was very young. I mean, when did Star Trek IV come out? Because it was like opening weekend for sure.
It's just called Star Trek IV.
The Voyage Home.
'86.
Okay, so I was like 8. But I recently rewatched it actually, and it's very good. I mean, it's like considered one of the best ones.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something I've been interested in investing some time into, at least the movies. But, I mean, the TV show, I mean, there's just...
But you might be surprised. I mean, like, the original, just, like, having some familiarity with, like, the original series. But, like, you know, the Next Generation is considered, like, the favorite.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is that the Picard one?
Yes. I mean, as far as I know, it's considered the favorite. If I'm wrong, don't kill me. I don't think there's any kind of map.
Doom has a map. So did you get this after John mentioned that Quake 2 was in it, or did you already have it?
No, I bought it. You know, like after he mentioned it. It's not expensive to get like this limited edition. It was like $14 shipped.
Oh, wow. I mean, that's... For a bonus like this, you'd think that would be, like...
Something that's really, like, really sought after, for sure. Yeah. I was surprised.
Do you feel like there's anything that really gives Quake a strong... I feel like he doesn't have as strong an identity as... I mean, granted, this has come from someone who's barely played it, but it doesn't feel like... I just don't know if it has a strong identity compared to Wolfenstein or Doom or, you know, those other id games.
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends. Like I said, like I feel like it almost feels like a James Cameron movie, kind of, as opposed to like Doom and stuff like that. But I mean, I'm pretty sure is this the first game they have like light sources and stuff? Or maybe I feel like the first Quake might be the first one they have like a free look camera where you can like look up and down.
Probably. I always kind of liked not having to do vertical aiming and Wolfenstein and Doom. Like, it's... There's kind of a pleasant simplicity to that. Man, the 32X version of Doom has bad music.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of a cool version, but it does have bad music.
Oh, you just... From the clip that I gave you?
Yeah, because at first, like, I wanted to use some Doom music, and I listened to that and looked up the soundtrack. I'm like, ugh. So I just used the original version.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not like I was talking about the 32X version specifically. I'm just talking about like that era of FPS in general, you know, before GoldenEye.
Oh, that's right. Just got that.
Stuffy says Quake identity mostly comes from speedrunning and deathmatch, and I definitely agree. I've always like kind of thought of. Thought of Quake as a deathmatch game.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I spent a lot of time playing too.
And you know, I've always felt like it's easy to get like Quake and Unreal kind of mixed up. Like
Unreal, when Unreal came out, I mean, that was another one where he was like the same guy who was like really into this was in Unreal, and Unreal was like it was incredible looking when it came out. I mean, it was like blew my mind.
I mean, Unreal and id, you know, id Tech were definitely like kind of going back and forth, you know, trying to one up each other, I guess. I mean, that was the impression I had anyway.
I like that, you know, this is the first game I remember, like, shooting the guys up close and they just, like, blast into pieces. And, like, bloody pieces. But, yeah, the first Unreal was crazy looking. And it had a really cool soundtrack to it.
Who made Hexen? Was that Epic or?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was it as well. But it was.
Was it?
Someone else might have made it, and then they like. I don't know.
I'll look that up.
Like license, because I'm pretty sure it was an id published game.
I don't know if it's well regarded, but I always see. Oh, it was actually developed by Raven Software. I didn't realize Raven went that far back. Like, Raven is, didn't they do...
that's it.
Yeah, they did. Raven did the last gen Wolfenstein game, which I kind of like.
Ooh, I need the power cube. Power cube is needed to restore power. I'm guessing it's in here. Let's find that power cube. Maybe that's not the way I'm supposed to go. Maybe I go this way and I go left.
Yeah, I always thought Hexen at least seemed like an interesting idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's more of a fantasy sort of thing. There's definitely some temptation to get the N64 version.
Oh, Raven didn't do Jedi Outcast. Yeah. I should play that sometime.
Do I even still have a version? I don't think I do.
Of Jedi Outcast?
No. I was going to say the last gen Wolfenstein. I need to get that. I used to have the PS3 version. I beat it. Corey and Tribe, do you guys play Golden Axe Arcade?
You mean Revenge of Death Adder?
I mean, or original, I guess.
I have played Golden Axe Arcade a lot.
I forget if I have played the arcade version, but I do like Golden Axe on the Genesis.
It has the best death streams of any game ever. But it's all from Rambo First Blood. It's all like digitized from Rambo First Blood. An episode on historical arcade PCBs. I think it'd be just cool to do an episode just like on a random assortment of like arcade games that I have access to. This is not right.
Yeah. Saying.
Why am I not playing the C64 version of this?
Surely there can't be. Unless it's like might a hack. Be. Some sort of impressive hack. Last two Wolfenstein games were machine games. Which, I feel like, you know, the first one, New Order, like, kind of shocked people. Like, people definitely were not expecting it to be as good as it was. I think machine games kind of got a lot of clout from that. I'm really looking forward to playing, like, properly playing through the new Colossus. I played, like, the first level and a half, like, just to capture footage for the 4K episode, and it is awesome. Same goes for the new Doom.
Yeah, and that's like, something like that.
I only played, like, 20 minutes or so, but it is awesome.
The new awesome. Doom would be a good candidate for like a lunchtime stream, probably.
Maybe. I mean, feels like something you'd want to keep playing to me for a long time. It's just like I love how fast it is. Like it feels like the speed of original Doom, but it's like in a 3D environment. It's just it feels really right.
I supposed to go in there, I think. I mean, this is pretty fast too.
Yeah, I don't think it's Doom fast.
Let's see if this is what I was supposed to do. Oh, there's something in here, though. No! There's a Q in there. A Q icon.
Q? It's like Quake. The Quake?
Yeah, it's the Quake logo. It's in there. I gotta get it.
Is it like the the Rebel Alliance logo. That, you know, you try to collect them all in Star Wars: Shadows of the Empire.
Maybe. Where I'm going here. Pretty positive. I got to just do something here. I'm looking, I can't find the power cube.
I did not know a whole lot about Star Wars at the time Shadows of the Empire came out. Like, that was like right when I was starting to get into Star Wars. And I think, like, I had randomly seen Return of the Jedi recently at that point, but I hadn't seen the others yet. And so, like, the Rebel Alliance logo doesn't really make, like, doesn't really call attention to itself in the movies, I feel.
Oh, not at all. Yeah, for sure. Like, the newer movies kind of call a little bit more attention to it, I think.
Yeah. But I, like I say, I had at least seen Return of the Jedi at that point, but I feel like it was Shadows of the Empire that, like, made me pay attention to the symbol and, like, think of it like, oh, this is, like a major icon to remember. Because, like, you know, each level has the hidden things that you want to collect them all.
Finally, a new gun.
You tie your old shotgun?
No, I just wanted the Gatling gun.
The shotgun in Time Splitters 1 is, like, crazy accurate, like, from a long range. I guess that's one of the fun things I like about that kind of game is, the game is more than just about, you know, doing pinpoint accuracy. Like, you just kind of generally get the enemy in the center of the screen and shoot, but you're not going to get, like, a headshot or anything unless you do, like, slow down to do some more fine-tuned aiming.
See what this is like. How many copies of Quake 4 with the bonus disc are currently available? Oh, wait, I get
like
the
on eBay.
eBay, yeah. So I'm curious. Like, is this making anybody in the chat like want to like going out to like buy this now? I've taken the Power Cube, by the way.
Well, I need to buy Time Splitters too before the Perfect Dark Zero video inevitably makes it super rare or something, because everyone is totally going to be watching that video. what would I call this? Just
like for Quake 4 Xbox 360 bonus disc.
Here's like some loose bonus discs. Includes bonus disc, Quake 2 included. Complete game. So does the disc itself says Quake 4, but it says bonus disc?
Yes.
I mean, it looks like it's pretty common.
It's interesting. I mean, you can't even install the disc.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you could install anything.
No, it just like it won't install.
That's very interesting.
Because it has a bunch of like making of stuff on it too. Whoa. Jeez. Oh my gosh. It like sent me back to the beginning of the level. How did I pick this? It just sounded fun for tonight.
You wanted to play something that you didn't feel like you would be adding to your now playing list.
Yeah. Exactly. That was the idea, at least.
Somebody is selling a lot of 350 Quake 4 bonus discs on eBay.
Oh, really?
That's what someone in the chat says anyway.
That's funny. I mean, if you got them laying around, why not?
Yeah, but how'd you get them laying around?
I don't know. Oh, we got a $5 donation from Inmate 302. It says Saturn. Can you read it when it comes up on screen?
Yeah, I didn't see it in the chat, though. Saturn hasn't arrived yet. Guy from the Japanese retailer says they need to restock.
Oh, that's right. You ordered the white Saturn, I believe. Thank you for the donation. You should, like, what I had to do last week is just, like, log in the Streamlabs, because sometimes things don't pop up on here. Like you know, if someone uses any other kind of thing instead of...
Right. Yeah. Remind me to do that next time, because I don't think I've got the login for it.
Okay. So oh, we got a... Oh, we got another. I see a super chat.
Yeah. Steven Schneider says, thanks for all the help and info. I have a great setup now, in part thanks to you guys. I found the channel. I didn't even know what RGB was. Yeah. I mean, we didn't know what RGB was either.
Thank you.
Odd, anyway. But yeah, I mean,
there was a comment recently on the NES episode. The NES RGB episode.
Oh, yeah,
said,
yeah.
Like, wait a second. You paid actual money for a composite modded NES?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, you know what? In 2012, yeah. Because, you know, the RGB mod didn't even exist. And, you know, like, I didn't know either.
You didn't know about RGB anyway. Even, yeah. The top loader was very sought after. I mean, he may have not understood, like...
It's actually really funny because... You know, it turns out that in 2012, I mean, this is like before, like a year before starting the channel. This is like when I was starting to kind of get back into buying NES games. I actually bought the my top loader composite modded from GameTech US.
Yeah.
It's just kind of a funny, like a coincidence.
Yeah.
Because when we were there and we were interviewing him, and he said, you know, like, I used to sell them on eBay, and I kind of brought it up during the interview. I was like, oh, yeah, like, I bought mine from you.
Like, you looked it up just then to see if it was.
Yeah.
I think it was a smart... It was a popular thing back then because the top loaders were kind of hot because they were... We're kind of renowned for being more reliable at reading cartridges than front loaders. So, you know, it made sense at the time, for sure.
I think this thing is going to start rolling. Yeah. It's just funny, like, stuff like that. It's like a small world, you know?
There was another comment... They kind of confused me. I didn't really know how to answer it, and I was kind of busy traveling all week, but so I didn't get around to answering it. But I think it was asking something like what RGB mod do you recommend for the NES? But it's like, well, there's really only one viable RGB mod. There's like the Play Choice 10, but that really doesn't make any sense anymore.
Yeah.
Even then, like, when it did, kind of makes sense. Like, the color palette is definitely kind of a deal breaker for me.
Yeah. I mean, just even looking at the footage from the NES and Switch, like, ugh, that yellow is not great.
Pimptimus says, I made a few composite modded SNES. I assume he means NES. I put PlayStation AV multi-out ports in them. That's actually kind of interesting. That's not a bad idea because, like, oh my gosh, I have easily more PlayStation composite cables than, like, any other console-specific cable. Like, I've probably got, like, 15 of them. And I have almost no use for them.
Oh, that's right. I gotta go. I gotta take that up.
NES RGB versus high-def NES. That's tough. I mean, I would definitely recommend the RGB overall just for higher flexibility. But I really do enjoy the high-def a lot. Like, sometimes I just use it out of convenience. But, you know, keep in mind that its scaling capabilities are less than, say, the OSSC. Of course, it's going to look sharper than the OSSC because it's, you know, digital from the source and it's and not going to have any noise. But you can't get as accurate of an aspect ratio without introducing shimmer issues. So if you do the integer scale, it's going to be a little wide, but it doesn't particularly bother me. But overall, I guess I prefer, like, you know, the NES RGB because I can use it on PVM, I can use it on OSSC or FrameMeister, and, you know, with the OSSC or FrameMeister, I can get a, you know, an accurate aspect ratio without worrying about the shimmer.
Or, what did Mike Micah call it?
Oh, he called it swimming.
Yeah.
It's got like this swimming that goes across the screen. Casey says, I have the component cables for Genesis Formation Retrovision. Not the best quality, but a lot better than composite. Well, I mean, really they are comparable to best quality for sure. I mean, it just depends on how you're using them. They do an outstanding RGB to component conversion. I mean, so if you were to plug that into something like OSSC or FrameMeister or even RetroTINK, like, they'd look awesome. If you're plugging them directly into an HDTV, like, it totally depends on your TV, but the quality of the signal is upheld through the cables themselves. It's the other end that you need to worry about.
I don't know where I'm supposed to go. That's probably like the hardest part about this game is like figuring out where the hell I'm supposed to go.
Yeah, well, especially with no map. It's surprising it doesn't have a map if you know, when Doom had a map. Someone says there's a notification on screen. Can you please clear it by pressing the button to pull up the objectives? What's the notification? What's the notification?
Primary unit objective. Supply station. Goals 3 of 5. Secrets. Collect the 4 power cubes to restore power to the warehouse.
And Trout Butter says go under the train by the switch on the floor.
Oh, can I go out? Oh, there's a ladder. Thank you. It's difficult. I mean, it's hard to figure out like where you're supposed to go. Oh, I gotta go up there. There we go.
Back in business. Says that he meant that he did component mods to SNES. That's something I've been a little unsure of because people have talked about component mods, but I'm kind of confused because you're saying pulling components straight from the CPU and adding some stabilization. Like, wouldn't you have to, I mean, you know, hey, I'm no modder, but wouldn't, my assumption would be that it only creates RGB. I mean, there wouldn't, I mean, I'm not even sure how established the YPBPR spec was at that time, even in like a professional application. I'm not sure. Like, does that signal natively exist on the chips? Because that would be kind of weird.
I must have been peeing in the corner. Going to the bathroom.
Like, I mean, I could see how you could pull Luma, but then how would you get the PBMPR? I mean, it just seems hard for me to believe that the chip would natively make PBPR. Says it does indeed. All you add is a cap per line to stabilize the signal. That's like kind of crazy. Like, do other systems?
I've seen mods like that. They just.
Yeah, but I mean, I always assumed that it was taking RGB and converting it. But he's saying that the chip natively creates PBPR. Like, does any other system?
I don't know.
Have PBPR directly on the chips? I mean, obviously Y is there, but that's bizarre. He says not that he's found. See, there were comments for a time about, like, why didn't you cover component mods for SNES? And I'm thinking, well, a component, if they're, you know, I see component mods, but I'm like, well, it's gotta be just converting RGB to component. But, I mean, that's definitely interesting. Feels limitedly useful, though, because there's not, like, many other consoles you could do that with at the time. I mean, it might be worth having an extra SNES to do that with, just for the fun of it, though.
For funds?
Well, I mean, not for me to do it, but just, you know, just for the fun of having a native YPBPR SNES. I mean, that's kind of cool.
How long is this game?
No, I mean, it's almost not even worth looking up because, like, the length of time someone takes to finish a shooter is going to vary a lot.
Yeah, I'm just curious, though.
Dima Parachute says 10 hours, or whatever that's worth, I guess. 57 Rye asks, what have been your biggest game disappointments? One of mine for sure was Yoshi's Story. Like, that's the one I think of probably. You know, that was my most anticipated game for a time because Yoshi's Island at the time was probably, well, I don't know if it was, it's hard to say, if it was definitely my favorite game for some time. I may have been surpassed by Mario 64 at the time.
Back here.
I don't know. I kind of went back and forth, I think. But, like, Yoshi's Island was, like, this perfect 2D platformer, basically. Like, I had no reason to believe Nintendo would screw up a 2D Yoshi's Island sequel. And boy, was it not quite what you wanted. I mean, at the time, I was always like, this is profoundly disappointing, but it's fine. It's not bad. But man, I was playing a bit of it on a stream a year or two ago, and it actually kind of is a little bad. It actually is kind of a little bit bad. Like, not just disappointing, it's kind of bad.
I don't think that you probably are not alone in feeling that way.
Another would be Mario is missing. You know, this was before
you actually thought it was going to be a good game at one point.
Yeah. Like this was before, like, I really regularly read any magazines or followed anything much in general. I mean, I only had an NES and a Game Boy, and it was like, it was 94. I only had an NES and a Game Boy, and I saw Mario was missing in the store, and I'm like, you know, I'm a big Luigi fan, and I was like, oh man, it's like, it's gotta be like Mario, because I, you know, it was the era of the Super Nintendo, and it was like awesome to see like what looked like a Mario game. I saw in the store, and I thought this was gonna be it was gonna be like Mario 3 or Mario World, but on the NES, and you play as Luigi instead of Mario, and that sounds amazing. And like it was near my birthday, and I told my dad I wanted it for my birthday. And but like I remember seeing on the box, like it says something like Bowser invaded our world, and I always like thought that seemed kind of weird. And I was like, that I kept thinking of that, like, I wonder if this game's not going to be quite what I think it's supposed to be. Like, what if it's something else? Like, why would it be our world?
It's like a red flag. It's like when,
yeah, I was just like trying to rationalize it, like, something gonna be wrong with this game. Like, I legit did not know it was an edutainment game until I like had it in my hands.
And it was too late, right?
It was too late. I did beat it that day though. My dad was like, wow, was that easy?
I've never played it.
Well, it looks like Steffi had a similar experience.
I don't know. I wish there was a map in this. It's like kind of annoying that there's not a map.
Well, what have been some of your biggest disappointments?
I mean, at the time, it's like people are gonna hate me, but it's like. Like, Sonic 2 was definitely a big disappointment for me when it came out. And a lot of that was my fault. I mean, I loved the first one, and I think that I just, like, got myself, like, overhyped for it. I mean, I'd say that Metal Gear Solid 2 was definitely a big disappointment for me. I mean, I played through the whole game, but in one night. But I thought for sure that it was going to be... You're gonna be playing a snake at any time now. But I mean, you know, it's like such an interesting thing. I mean, did you play Metal Gear Solid 2 when it came out?
Very close. Like, I was aware by the time that I got to it, though. I was aware that you were not Snake for most of the game.
Okay, because when that, you know, experiencing that in real time. You know, like, at a time where, like, I went and I got it, like, the day the second the store opened that day. And I'm sorry that this is, like, boring for everybody because I'm trying to figure out where I'm going. But, you know, like, the day that it came out, I was just, like, had no idea. I'd been watching like the trailer so closely, and I was just so excited. And whew, man,
I
felt like really betrayed and just like once it was like ending. I was like, what was that?
I loved it. I loved it. Like I was aware of the ruse, you know, but I played it within a month or two of coming out.
Yeah, so I mean, it's. But imagine experiencing it.
I'm sure.
Like, I mean, I can I acknowledge it. Like it's pretty decent now. But, like, I just don't think I ever quite got over it in terms of that in the game.
Mm-hmm. I like 2 a lot. I mean, 3 is definitely the best and will always be the best. But I do like 2. I respect what Kojima was going for.
Yeah.
Another big, like a much more recent big disappointment for me, like in retrospect, it feels like so silly looking back. But like I was like kind of hyped for Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles, The Crystal Bearers.
it kind of made it look like a rail shooter a little bit.
No. I mean, it's... you run around and, you know, you can, like, kind of, like, telekinetically, like, pick up enemies and, like, toss them around and stuff. And I forget exactly the game mechanics. But, like, I just thought it looked like really cool use of, like, the Wii controls. And, like, I thought, like, you would be able to do cool things by, like, picking up enemies and tossing them around and stuff. And, like, it just looked like there were some interesting gameplay possibilities there. But then, like, it turns out that the combat is very uninteresting. There's like almost no incentive to actually do the combat. And the game is full of these like really dumb sort of mini game and QTE type scenarios. It's just, it's just a not good game. It is not a good game. I actually rebought it couple years ago. It was actually when I was visiting your neck of the woods, just because I was like, you know what, like this is like one of the dumbest games I've ever played, and I sold it. I was like, I feel like there's I feel like I should have one of the worst games I've ever like actually finished. It's like I should own that. It's not a good game.
What was it?
Crystal Bearers.
Oh, okay.
Dark Mountain Productions says, Crystal Bearers is an interesting experiment. Gorgeous visuals, great music, and some good story beats. That gameplay is wonky most of the time. Sometimes fun, though. I found it to not really ever be fun. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, it felt like a game with some ambition. Like, mm-hmm. there was some visionary ideas behind it, I think, that just did not pan out. Dima Parashi says, can you pull up the objectives for a second? Maybe I can remember.
Everything is... I'm supposed to head back. I know where I'm supposed to go, but I don't know how to get there. I know. I'm sorry, it's like excruciating like watching me fumble around here. Oh, you know... Metroid Other M is like, it's kind of a game I really want to replay.
Me too. I almost replayed it immediately because I forget, it was a New Game Plus or whatever.
But really quick, I DMAS has asked this question a bunch of times about the X Capture One. What I'm streaming this on is the StarTech version, internal version of that card.
Is the X Capture One updated to support 1080p 60 now?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what this one is. Like, the PEX HD Cap 60L is the same, is the StarTech version of the X-Capture one. Yeah.
Well, I wasn't sure if the, because I know there was a Micomsoft card at the time that didn't do 1080p 60, right?
Yeah, the PEX, the Micomsoft.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure there was. Yeah.
I thought it was the X-Capture one, but.
No, X-Capture 1 is the same thing as this one. Actually, the X-Capture 1 is the same card, but actually the X-Capture 1 usually has a second input as well. Let's see if maybe if I can go all the way. Like, this goes up, so it's got to be... I got to be missing something. Unless I can get on there... Does that go all the way up? What's this do? No? This is so stupid. I don't understand what I'm missing here. I've already done it before. I was like on my way out, but I somehow got turned around.
Ryan Schmidt says, for me personally, I couldn't get into the battle system for Xenoblade Chronicles. I was so disappointed because the rest of the game looks amazing. I liked the battle system in Xenoblade Chronicles, but I wasn't like as into the battle system as a lot of people were, I feel. The battle system in Xenoblade Chronicles X is like, so good. I know a lot of people are like really down on that game, but it's similar to Xenoblade Chronicles 1, but so much better in my opinion. It definitely takes some getting used to. It's got some unique ideas in terms of like how your party heals and stuff. But I've raved about how much I love the battle system in that game a lot. There's a lot of things I like about Xenoblade Chronicles X. Xenoblade Chronicles 2, though, unfortunately, that one for me is in the disappointment category. It's got a completely different sort of battle system from Xenoblade 1 and Xenoblade X. And I thought it was no fun. Like, I just wasn't really feeling the game at all. I actually, believe it or not, recently sold it because I could not see myself returning to it to finish it. And part of it was like, well, I don't see myself getting the Torna expansion that they just did. So it's like, well, my Xeno collection is already ruined because of that, so I may as well not get two or get rid of two, whatever. Because up until then, I did have all the Xeno games. I've got.
I can't see. I can't go out there. That's right.
Xeno Gears, all of Xeno Saga, Xenoblade 1, Xenoblade X. I had Xenoblade 2.
You really messed up, man.
Or are you going to get Torna?
Yeah, I got it actually.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I mean, it's the last thing I ordered from Amazon before they took away the...
Oh. I don't know. I mean, I'd be curious how you feel about the battle system. It was just really boring to me.
Well, I mean, I'll let you know how I like it when I get to it in 15 years.
Yeah. Then I'll like rebuy it and the game will be worth like $100.
Yeah. So I don't know where I'm supposed to. This is like, it's so annoying to me right now. How do I get back outside?
I mean, part of your reason for choosing this game tonight was to be under no obligation to finish something. You could always play something else if you're just frustrated.
That's true. I could see what I have on my Xbox Live Arcade. I mean, it's 10:36. Would anybody be disappointed if I played some Afterburner Climax? Would anybody be disappointed in that?
I would not be. I'd like to see that.
All right, let's do it. Let's do it. The Afterburner Climax is like maybe like at the top of my like I would love to get a physical copy of this someplace, but it's just like not gonna happen. It's like been delisted and everything.
You know, it wasn't too long ago that I got Contra and Super Contra, the arcade versions, because they were, I think they were on sale for really cheap on Xbox Live. But I discovered not long ago, like, there's Arcade Archives releases of those games on PS4, at least. I wonder how recent that is, because I was pretty sure those were, like, the only console versions was on Xbox 360.
Of what?
Of Contra and Super Contra, the arcade versions.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, that's what I thought, but there's Arcade Archives on PS4.
Oh, right, yeah. Have you ever seen this game in action?
Have you ever streamed it before?
I don't think so, but it's like it's such an awesome game.
I mean, yeah,
it's like it's so fast.
I've seen it in action.
Let me I have everything unlocked in it, so let me
I think my most wanted physical game, digital game that, you know, is looking grim for getting a physical release is Hardcore Uprising. That game is so
and
good.
Before anybody asks, you have to use the Afterburner 2 music. I've never played it using the actual real Afterburner Climax music.
Why not? You gotta hear it.
It's not even a remix of the original's music.
Oh, it's not?
No.
So you know what it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean you can hear it, but you gotta play with Final Takeoff.
It's so fast.
I know.
It's like maybe the fastest thing in a video game that's not.
It is criminal that this game is like not available physically, and you can't even buy it anymore.
Yeah,
it's insane to me.
Why is that?
Like I'm gonna make everyone's gonna see it and they're gonna want to play it now. It's like, well, you can't buy it. I bought it on here and on the PS3, just so I could have it. It was only $5. Oh. When it came out.
How much?
$5.
Wow. Like, how accurate is it to the feel of Afterburner?
It's perfect. they could not have done a better sequel than this. And it has, like, levels like this. And, like, the whole climax mode, like, slows everything down in bullet time, and you get unlimited missiles.
Mm-hmm.
So, like it. I mean, it's such an awesome game.
Bad Reality says it's not faster than F-Zero GX, but, I mean, You gotta consider you're like going over like entire mountain ranges in like a second.
Yeah, and it's true. It's like, I guess like in terms of like sheer
the
game
scale.
Speed, yeah, I mean, like,
but the scale you have to consider the scale. I think you're moving over more ground per second than you would in F-Zero. Because I feel like the machines are smaller.
The GameWorks down the street from my house has an arcade version of this, and it like the whole thing moves.
Wait, there's an arcade version of this?
Yeah, it's an arcade game. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. That's a Sega owned place, right?
Yeah, Arcade Works is owned by Sega. It's next like time you're here, we'll have to go. It's pretty
random,
cool.
Randomly, you know? Have it in your
town. Well, it's like down on the levee. The you know, it's like there's a bunch of restaurants.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it. It's kind of weird. It's just a weird place for it.
People are like, it's cool for you to pull this awesome game out, and it's no longer available. I know. It is absolutely criminal, and it's like so sad that. There's no physical. I mean, I've talked about it like on social media so much that just
you're like flying over like entire cities in like the blink of an eye.
Yeah.
I like don't really understand Afterburner. Like it's so fast that like I just like.
Yeah, the reason it's...
Why even parse it?
The reason it's been delisted is because of the licensing of the F-14 Tomcat.
Oh. Well, that was a mistake.
Yeah. But, I mean, you can't have Afterburner without the Tomcat. There's other planes you can play as. But, like, I can't not play using the Tomcat or... with the original music.
Well, but that doesn't make other versions of Afterburner not like.
I mean, look at how awesome this level is.
Like, are they just Tomcat in the
original?
Did they just look like it? They don't officially call it that.
No, I mean they just look like it. Yeah, I mean in the original they are a Tomcat, but it doesn't probably actually say it in the game. But here they got the official license.
They should have just been able to get away with it. I mean, honestly, if I were Sega, I'd be reluctant to get the official licensing for this because then they'd be like, oh, why did you get it for all these others?
I mean, the game is like it's honestly super short. I mean, it's. I'm going to beat it.
It's a $5 game.
It is, yes.
That's awesome. Well, it was a $5.
But there's all kinds of like awesome unlockable options, too.
So did you get everything in both the 360 and PS3
yes.
versions?
Yes, yeah. In both. I mean, I've unlocked all of them and have like all the trophies and achievements in both of them. I guess I haven't, like, talked to you about it enough.
Maybe not.
I mean, are you amazed a little bit? Are you impressed?
By the game?
Yeah.
Or by your dedication to it?
Both.
yes.
They probably could tweak something and make it look a little different, but I mean... They probably just like unfortunately like Sega like just don't care probably.
Maybe. This old console said I could totally see this being an arcade within Yakuza 7.
Yeah.
Yakuza. I can't say that word. It's always been a hard word for me.
And you get, there's like secret missions on some levels, and so like it opens up like extra levels. It's usually a little bit harder than this, but I have like all these different options on right now. There's one where you can make it so that you're just like, your jet engines. Look at this. I'm gonna fly inside. You're just like on maximum the whole time. I mean, look at this. This is awesome, isn't it? Oh, I died.
Is the most recent original Space Harrier like one on Saturn?
There was one called Planet Harriers. Like, it was arcade only. It's a Naomi game. I've never played it. I'd love to try it one day.
JF says, after you beat it, play the Katamari 360 game. Do you have it?
What is it? Yeah, I have it. I just got it at Goodwill for $3 recently, actually.
What is it called? Beautiful Katamari, I think?
Yeah. Oh, I got a game over.
I've never played it. I want to get... I really want to get the Switch HD version of the original. Afterburner Climax. Like, I'm excited. I'm pumped about that. Like, I actually think, like, the, you know, the gimmicky Joy-Con controls can be really fun for that. I'm excited. I mean, that's easily my favorite Katamari. I mean, not that I've played them all. I mean, to be fair, I've really only played the first two. But I didn't care for the demo of the one on PS3, which I assume is the same as the 360 one.
I think I'm not going to play Katamari because by the time I get it, like, into it, I'm gonna try and stick with Live Arcade. I'm gonna, like, since I just played that, I'm gonna play some Outrun Arcade online.
Ah,
since another delisted game.
I actually need to get We Love Katamari again. I mean, I shouldn't have sold it, but
if I can find it.
You know, during the old game purge.
What is it?
We Love Katamari. I got rid of it a while ago.
It was kind of a disappointment to me. I didn't like
I didn't like the special objectives too much.
Yes, exactly.
There were a lot of like weird rules on top of it too. Like, I definitely like by far the, you know, just build as big a Katamari as you can. Those are by far the best levels.
Right. Here's another one that's like you can buy. Although at least you can get, you know, you can get the, what should we call it? The one, is that unlocked? I need the original car. You can get like Coast to Coast and stuff on the PS2. At least there's other versions. Automatic transmission.
Anyone played the new Dragon Quest? I am only about 9 hours. I haven't really had a chance to get back to it, but I'm planning to this week. You know, I'm gonna edit during the day, and I'm gonna play Dragon Quest at night.
This is the cut down version of Coast to Coast, I believe. Have you played Outrun 2 at all? Like, I mean, I know you're not I'm not a driving fan that much, but
I do think I would like Outrun. Like, the vibe feels like cruising, just, you know?
Yeah, but it's all about like just drifting. Like, I always think of the thing when my wife I was talking to her about Fast and the Furious. So it was like right around the time when the third one was coming out. You've watched them all, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I watched them last summer.
Okay, so you've even seen, like, Tokyo Drift, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just remember, like, my wife seeing something about it and was like, oh, is that the one where they drive sideways?
I mean, accurate. I mean, I remember when Mario Kart 64 came out. Like, it took me a while to wrap my head around drifting. And, like, I guess, like, drifting was already kind of becoming a popular thing in the game.
Mm-hmm.
I guess because, like, Ridge Racer and stuff. And I just remember, like, you know, I feel like sniper rifles and drifting were, like, the two, like, ooh, cool things in games in, like, the mid to late 90s. Like, people were, like, people thought that drifting and sniper rifles were just, like, the coolest crap you could have in the game.
Well, I mean, I like Ridge Racer, and I know that it's like a lot of there's a lot of drifting in that, but this is like the drifting in this is so easy and effortless. That's what I love about
it's pretty effortless in Ridge Racer though. I actually don't own any version of Ridge Racer right now, but I kind of like Ridge Racer.
I actually have a lot more Ridge Racer games than like I know what to do with, I think, at this point.
I definitely should get at least one Ridge Racer game. I'll have to ask John. I mean, I'm sure John could like write a doctoral dissertation.
He's a big fan. As far as I know, like I think that in terms of like the amount of content, I think that 4 is probably like the best.
Is that on PS2?
Yeah, and it's on PS1. And that came with a version of the first game as like a bonus.
Right. It's like 60 frames per second in 480i or something. Yeah. So this is a different game from the Ridge Racer game that's on like PS2 and Xbox, right?
This?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I have Ridge Racer 6. Oh. I have Ridge
Racer. No, I'm not talking about Ridge Racer. I'm talking about Outrun. That's it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't know what I said.
I meant
Outrun.
It's like a cut down version of Coast to Coast. There's Outrun 2 and then Outrun 2 Coast to Coast, which has like all kinds of extra stuff like.
So Outrun 2 is like a PS2 game, right?
The original Outrun 2 was original Xbox exclusive, and then Coast to Coast came out on the original Xbox and the PS2.
Okay.
So Coast to Coast original Xbox, I've never seen it in person. As far as I know, that it's kind of expensive.
Yeah.
But I've never seen it in the wild before.
But you've got the PS2 version.
Yes. Also, what I've heard is that the original Outrun 2 actually runs a little bit better than Coast to Coast, even on like. Even Xbox? The Coast to Coast on the Xbox. Yeah, look up Coast to Coast on the Xbox and see how much it goes for. So like I said, I've never seen it. I would love to get it, but I mean, I've just never seen it anywhere. I've never run into an opportunity to possibly buy it.
Oh, it's Coast to Coast.
Yes.
Ooh, yeah. This is not cheap.
Oh, I'm almost there. Oh, so close. Look at that. Look at that. 95%.
I should get some Outrun games, though. I do like the idea behind Outrun. Like, just driving until, you know, you get to the end.
Yep. I mean, that's what I like about arcade racing games. I'll play some Hurt Mode.
Let's see. There's, I mean, there's the complete one that's 150.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, here's one with no manual that's 120. A new seal for 649.
Jeez.
I mean, disc only is $100.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty expensive. Here's one that's 120, no manual, except it's got like a register online Sega thing inside. That's too bad. But how much? I'm gonna look up the
PS2 version is not bad. It's got a lot of content.
Yeah, I mean, it's always been a good-looking game.
And it has a 480p
from
mode.
The clips you've sent me.
And it's
does have 480.
Yep, and a widescreen, as far as I know. You could always you can do what I did is like just get the original Outrun on the Xbox and then get that in addition. You know, get that in addition to just get both versions.
Right. What's the difference overall?
Just Coast to Coast has like a ton more content. It has a ton more cars, like a lot of unlockable stuff, more music.
Are the graphics and gameplay basically the same though?
Yes. But, you know, like I said, as far as I know, the Xbox version of just the original Outrun 2, like, runs better than, like, the game runs at a higher frame rate than the other ones. But, I mean, like, that's just what I've heard.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be down for having any version. But is this a different game?
No, I mean, this is just like kind of a cut down version of Coast to Coast.
So is it more content or less content than the version than just regular Outrun?
It's probably close to the same, I'm guessing.
Is it an arcade game?
Yeah. But I mean, obviously, like, the main allure of this one is the fact that it's the only HD version available.
What home version of the original Outrun?
The Saturn version.
Oh, that's a little expensive, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a little expensive, but it also has, like,
it's an import, right?
It's on the Sega Ages that Working Designs released.
Right, which is expensive.
Yeah, but it has, what's cool about that is, you know, it has the arcade, it's like basically arcade perfect. As far as I know, it is arcade perfect. But it has a secret 60 frames per second mode. That was
fantastic. A secret 60 frames per second?
Yeah, it's just like in a kind of a hidden menu. You gotta put like a button combo in.
Is the arcade version not 60 frames?
I don't think so.
So it's kind of an experiment.
Yeah, but it runs great. It's like the way to play that version.
So how much it wasn't long ago that you got the standalone version of that, right?
Yeah, it's been a couple of years now. I mean, it was in the CRT episode.
Was it a little pricey?
There's something like as far as I know there might be an issue with certain things, certain aspects of it that might make it so certain copies of the game will not work on a Model 2 Saturn.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like $50, $50,
$60. That's not the. Yeah, I mean, it's up there, but
it's a little much for, you know,
just having something to play.
Yeah, it's a little much. I mean, we got two New Zealand bucks from Retro Revolutions. Hey, fellas, looking forward to another cool stream. Well, this one's about over, but look forward to next week's for sure.
He's the guy who did the Consolized Links, and
yes.
it got featured on the Hackaday website. I wasn't familiar with it until I saw him post about it on Twitter. But yeah, so congratulations on that.
So aside from the Saturn version, what version of Outrun would you recommend next? Aside from arcade.
I don't know if it matters, if this is something that you'd rather do. But as far as I know, Outrun is playable in Yakuza 0.
Oh yeah?
In the arcade. And it is
like,
and it's like those emulations are done by M2.
Okay. I mean, I mean.
So you might want to check
play around with it in that. Yeah. That's a good idea. I feel like that.
And it's also in Fist of the North Star Lost Paradise, which. As soon as, I think it's before Dragon Quest, I'm going to play Fist of North Star Lost Paradise. Sorry. Go ahead.
Do you not recommend the Genesis version? Or is there a Genesis version? There is a Genesis version.
There is a Genesis version. I mean, I guess it's all right. And it's actually, like, more expensive. I think there's one at Arcade Legacy, right? Down the street.
What about Master System?
I mean, I don't know. Like, I guess it's okay. You know, like,
You seem to be a man who is picky about his Outrun.
I'm seeing if there's anybody playing this online, and nobody is playing it online. I'm just looking to jump into a quick game of Outrun Arcade. If anybody in this chat has Outrun Arcade and you get online with it and you create a match, we can play together right now. Actually, why don't I host a player match? And
I wonder if I can install it on my Xbox 360 because of like how we shared the account.
I think you gotta. I don't know.
Is that only Xbox One? I mean, I'm not gonna do it right now.
I've got the multiplayer lobby open. Let's see if anybody jumps in.
I mean, it does look like a lot of fun. It looks like the kind of quasi racing game I could really get behind.
This game, you cannot buy it anymore. It's been delisted.
Because of the Ferrari license?
Yep.
I was actually really into renting the odd racing game here and there during the N64 days. I kind of want to get Top Gear Rally again. I really liked it back in the day.
It can't be expensive either.
No, I don't think it is. And it's really smooth too.
There's something about it. There's like some specific reason it was smooth, right?
What? I think because it's 30 frames per second, which is, you know, consistent 30 frames on N64. You know, I mean, I don't know if it's consistent, but at least I'm pretty sure it's 30 frames. It's smoother than N64 games often are. I'll say that.
And nobody's jumping in the lobby.
Which I do not mean as a slight against the N64. I credit the N64 with me, you know, not being ultra picky about frame rates.
Oh, so this old console saying I should fire up Scott Pilgrim to make it a delisted hat trick. And you know what?
Oh.
Let's do that. Hang on, I have it on the PS3 though. Hang on.
Ah, too bad you're gonna break the 360 streak though. Sandy is like having rapid eye movement sleep in a position that does not look particularly comfortable. she's like laying over the central lump on my couch that has like, you know, the storage compartment underneath.
I've got like so many PSN games. It's stupid. There it is.
I
just watched this movie yesterday. It's on Netflix. I hadn't seen it in a long time.
Oh, yeah?
And I put it on. I intended for it to just be on in the background.
Yeah.
And I like watched the entire movie. Like just like with my head turned like this the whole time.
So you think it's aged pretty well?
Yeah, I mean, I read it when it was coming out, and then I was excited for the movie, and I didn't love the movie at first, but I think that I like the movie better now than I did originally.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've only seen it one time, but I've always like kind of wondered like if it would hold up on a rewatch.
I think it's kind of amazing like how many people are in that movie that have been and become a lot bigger since. Hopefully it has my save game for it. Yeah, okay. Scott's the only one. It's kind of grindy at first. Have you played this?
I mean, I've played the demo, but I never bought it. But like, I can understand why it would be grindy, because I mean, that's how River City Ransom is, and that's part of the. In a way, that's like not to say that like grinding is fun, but I also feel like that's part of why River City Ransom is so interesting, because it's like I almost look at River City Ransom as like a proto MMO. Like, it just kind of drops you in this world, and you kind of just like gotta find your way through it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you kind of gotta start off doing some menial stuff before you can be tough enough to really make a go at it. Like, it's River City is very much about just like building your character up.
I just got some trophy. I don't understand why I just got a trophy. Maybe it's like after I play for haven't played in a long time.
I don't know. I feel like with PS3 trophy stuff, that like is weird sometimes. Like it might not be synced up, and it might, you know. I've had that happen plenty of times. PS3 is like kind of weird sometimes, like revisiting a game that you haven't played in a long time. I feel like, I don't know, I feel like it doesn't understand that you've done things before. I don't know.
Oof, got hit by the bus. Great soundtrack in this game. Oh, so Vigilante, the trophy I got was for defeating 1,000 enemies.
Oh.
I have beat this game, obviously.
So you just beat your 1,000th enemy. That's kind of amazing.
Yeah, I'm like really leveled up. That's why these guys are just dying like crazy. Oh, jeez.
This was like, I feel like it was like pretty early for like a throwback game. Like it, like throwback games were like still kind of a somewhat.
When did this come out? 2010. I saw someone mention 2010. So.
Yeah, 2010. Like, there were definitely throwback games at the time, but it was
like this, and I was thinking, like, like, even though it was not a visually was not a throwback game, but you know, Bionic Commando Rearmed is one of the first ones I always think about, like, yeah. Gameplay wise, you know.
Yeah. Well, like, sprite games were like not like coming out of every orifice at the time.
Yep.
You know.
Exactly. That's one of my favorite terms to like use. when there was like too much stuff.
too much stuff.
Yeah. Hardcore Uprising, also a very good game.
Yeah.
I beat the level. Oh, look at, like, I'm in the subspace. The graphics are like messed up. Yeah, on purpose, obviously. but yeah, I mean, I hadn't seen the movie in a long time, and like, the effects are really good in it. Like, the fights, just the way the fights are shot and they're kind of edited, like, there's like this motion blur on everything that makes it look really cool. If you haven't seen it in a long time, I kind of recommend watching it. It's kind of amazing how fast it moves too.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the live action Speed Racer movie?
Yes.
That's an awesome movie.
I only watched it once, but I really liked it.
Yeah.
I think it, well, maybe I'll watch it twice.
I feel like that might have been like, it was like the second Blu-ray I ever bought.
I definitely bought the Blu-ray. I don't know how early it was in my Blu-ray buying. I don't know what could have been the first Blu-ray I ever bought.
The first Blu-ray I ever bought was Iron Man.
I mean, we got access. I mean, assuming the PS3 was also your first Blu-ray player. But, you know, we got on board around the same time.
Yeah, but the PS2 was not my first DVD player. I actually bought a DVD player when they were like still pretty early. I mean, I was like in my first year of college, I think, when I got mine.
PS2 was definitely my first DVD player. I think first movie I bought was, I think, I'm pretty sure it was Spaceballs.
That's a pretty good one. That's a good first movie.
Yeah.
My first DVD was Starship Troopers.
Mm. The first one I ever saw was Jackie Chan's Return of Drunken Master. But the first one I ever bought was, I'm pretty sure it was, if it wasn't Spaceballs, it was like definitely one of the first three that I bought. I think the first three I ever bought were probably Spaceballs, Monty Python, The Holy Grail, probably Airplane was in there too.
That's a good one too.
In my first three.
Remember when DVDs were like $30 when they first came out. I mean, I guess a lot of them were, I guess, well, DVDs, Blu-rays are like that, are the same deal now. They're like expensive.
Yeah, I mean, by the time I was buying DVDs, like, a lot of the ones I wanted to buy were probably like $10-$15. Well, some of them might have been 20. I'm sure many were 20.
There was a big deal when I got mine. It was, you know, if you bought a DVD player, you'd get 10 movies for free, like via mail order from like Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
I don't remember like what any of the movies were. I just remember it was the only one I remember was U.S. Marshals. just like that kind of sequel to The Fugitive.
Really? Is it a sequel?
Well, it's, you know, it's with what's his face? Tommy Lee Jones.
Is it like his character?
Yeah.
From The Fugitive?
Yeah.
Huh.
Crush that guy. I got it, and I just got another trophy for a new challenger. Why am I getting all these trophies? You know what? I wonder if this game came out before trophies were. No, that wouldn't have been true. You said this was 2010?
Yeah, I forget when trophies. Let me look it up.
I was able to just recover my my Japanese account. For some reason I thought I was not going to be able to recover it, and I really tried to do it the other day, and I was able to do it and download all the stuff that I have. Some of the Sega Ages. I got Little Ralph back.
I didn't know you had lost access to that stuff.
Yeah, did you know that there was, you know, TurboGrafx-16 and PC Engine games released on PSN?
Like just individual ones?
Yeah, I have EZ4 on it. Should we see what kind of options there are? I don't think I've ever booted it.
Do you know who even made them?
I don't. And it's like I'm pretty sure I have the downloadable content for this, but I may have missed it. Oh, I can't because I gotta update my system. See how this version of Wise looks.
Maybe better than Wii Virtual Console.
Mm-hmm. I basically just got this one just to have. It's a CD game too, so.
It's kind of like how the Wii U randomly got like a bunch of TurboGrafx Virtual Console games like after the Switch was already out. Well, that's cool that it actually showed, like, the Super CD screen.
Yeah, for, like, a split second.
Like, I mean, that definitely indicates to me it's, like... I mean, I guess it's obvious simulation, but... they're really going all in with it. I mean, I don't know. Just looking at the stream, it looks pretty good.
Yeah, this would be a good one to be able to see if it's... integer scale, but it looks pretty good.
There was some dithering in that.
I saw some shimmer on the planks on the boat, but we'll get to see here. But I wonder if I put the system in the 720.
The portraits are so weird.
Yeah, I would never say Wise, like as Wise on purpose. Although, I did think it was called Wise because my first one was the Master System game, and it was called Wise on there.
Yeah. Why owned that game? possessed it.
Do you see that shimmer?
I don't have a full screen right now.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's there.
Oh, I saw it when it scrolled down.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about the horizontal scale, though.
Oh, doggy.
It's Goben. He's the thief guy. There is a really excellent fan translation, and that fan translation has, like, Like I said, it has a dub too.
Yeah. Are the voices like actually consistent in like sound tone and quality?
Yeah. I mean, they sound like something from the era. I think they do a very good job. Like they're not like it's not great quality,
but it sounds like a turbo CD game.
Yes.
Like I kind of think of like Freedom Planet and how like the voices in that like you can like clearly tell like different people were just using their like home recording setups.
Yeah,
and it's like just not very consistent at all.
Oh, Doggy, that crazy Doggy. I think you'll probably see us talk about the fan translation for this game in the future.
Oh yeah, because you want to do like this like comprehensive ease episode.
Yeah. I mean, there's no, like... Oh! We got some options. That must be save. Can anybody in the chat tell me what these options stand for? I mean, I can see.
Where's my phone?
That must be that's load.
I want to see. I wonder if I can use Google Translate. The camera option.
Oh yeah. Save, load something, something, export and import.
Yeah, save, load, export, import, remove. I'm not sure if any of those are actually like graphical options.
Yeah. This is description. So this is like manual. Oh, delete. Ooh.
Delito.
There's the manual. Export to PSP.
What? Like, was it a crossplay thing?
Yeah, I bet it was, yeah. That's kind of cool, actually.
But it was only in Japan.
I wonder if it's just a save file. I don't want to do
transfaring. That's it.
Oh, is it that? That's what it was called, wasn't it? Was that what it was called?
Transfaring. Yeah, it's transfaring. you transfer your game from one from.
That's
PSP
right. I forgot. I forgot all about that. All right, so you see what else I have. I know that it's 11, almost 11:30, so we'll just like look for another minute here. See, these are kind of interesting, like the Sega Ages 2500, the M2 ones. Like they're on here, and you can choose the different resolutions. So you can choose like 240p. So you can see like how the PS2 is scaling, like 240p, 480i, or 480p.
Mm-hmm.
With them, sometimes it takes a while for them to like to load when you change.
Wait,
them.
Wait, are they PS2 classics?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, because the PS3 does its own deinterlacing. Although I'm not sure if PS2 classics, it may just force 480p. I'm not sure if PS2 classics deinterlace or not. I can't remember.
Well, hang on. Let's take a look.
I think it forces because I tried Contra Shattered Soldier and it didn't have the telltale deinterlacing artifacts. So I bet the 480i mode is like forcing 480p here. Although,
see, okay, so you gotta.
I feel like I saw some deinterlacing issues there.
I have it on interlace right now. You can kind of see it moving a little bit. So there's 240p, so you can go like, you know, 240p, 40i, 40p, and 40p with scan lines. Like, these are all the options here. Then you can change the, like the screen settings here too. Screen mode off. Does that just like turn it? Is it turn it off? So screen mode and smoothing is off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You definitely want it off for this kind of game.
So let's see what. So there's 240p right there. Let's see how. Oh. Let's see how the game looks. Oh, that looks pretty good.
It's stretched though.
Oh, but you know what? It's not though. I think it's the...
The system menu.
Hang on. No, it's not.
It should be the system menu option.
I know, I lost it for a second there. Hang on.
Oh, wait.
Like the capture card is doing something.
Really?
Yeah, so I wonder what it's... But it would be. I can check. Hang on. I want to see what that's receiving.
I want to know. Yeah, the 240p would just be upscaled in this case.
Now so when I turn that off, now it's just at 480p.
Weird.
So... It's just like upscaling 240p to 480p right now, like internally on the system. So let me turn on the screen mode. And it should come back, because then it's going to like make it 1080i or 1080p. Okay, so that's 240p. So that should be... I don't know why. Sorry, it's like, I don't know why it's not coming back now. Hang on. Not doing anything now.
Oh, we've got good morning from Germany in the chat here.
hang on a second. Let me see if I can switch this really quick. Might be it. Oh, it's not copy protected content. Come on. Oh, you know what? It is though, because the way I have my AverMedia set up, the PS3.
Really?
Yeah, just the way I have it going.
Well, how did you have it working before?
Because I'm using the StarTech for it.
What?
It's a long story. I have the secondary output going directly to my AverMedia from my receiver, and I have the Zone 2 going to my splitter, which goes to this monitor I'm using here, and my PEX HD cap. Hmm. So I don't have to worry about changing like stuff with like HDR if needed. I basically use the PEX HD cap for most stuff like over here, but I guess it's just like, I don't know why it's not. back, though.
Well, that'll definitely be something interesting to investigate.
Yeah.
Sometime. Although difficult to do on stream.
Yeah. Well, too bad we couldn't get a little bit more into that. That's all right, though. It is what it is. What are you going to do?
Well, I think we did plenty.
I think so, too. Well, maybe we'll have some... I think the bonus streams are going to happen this week. Over on our Twitch channel. We're going to make sure that that becomes like a big part of our day.
Hopefully.
A couple times a week. And we'll see.
I'd like that.
Yep. Thanks, everybody, for coming and hanging out. Thanks for all the donations and spending 2.5 hours with us.
Indeed. Thank you so much.
Yep. And everyone have a good night.
Good night.